This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون.
السلام عليكم dear viewers from all around the world. Welcome to episode 11. That's right, the 11th episode of your series, Nation of Goodness. Of course, I'm joined by Imam Kareem Abu Zayd. Please check him out online at www.kareemabuzayd.com. If you haven't seen the first 10 episodes, please do so. Get on YouTube at Islam Way 71 or Abu One Abdullah. It's really, truly been an enlightening series. We've talked about a lot of things regarding enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. In this episode, we're going to take it one step further. We're going to be talking about three types of Muslims with regards to this topic, enjoining good and forbidding evil. Without any further ado, let me please welcome our Shaykh to the screen. Assalamu alaikum, ya Kareem.
Assalamu warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, Malik.
I'm really excited about this episode. Looking forward to it as well. We're breaking down the Muslim world into three categories when it comes to implementing this command of enjoining good and forbidding evil. Is that right?
Right. One type, alhamdulillah, they are doing it.
Okay. But are they large in numbers?
No.
This is the problem.
Sufficient. We don't have. The evidence is we have a lot of evil. When you see a lot of evil, which is spread in the community, in the society, there are two indications here. Indication number one, that no one is speaking about it at all, or the people who are doing it, they are insufficient. And I'm more tuned into assuming the second, because there is no messenger after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam assured us that there will always a group, individuals amongst the ummah whom we call the strangers.
Right.
لا تزال طائفة من أمتي حديث معاوية بن أبي سفيان رضي الله عنهما والحديث في الصحيحين. That there will always a group from amongst my ummah who hold the truth, who are in the truth. They have the truth. They have the teachings. They have the light with them. And they are in a way defeated in a way until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the help to them, which is Imam al-Mahdi and also the second coming of Nabiullah Isa alayhi salam. So I'm more tuned into the fact that we have a segment of the ummah who enjoin good and forbid evil, but they are
small
segment. We need more people. We need more students of knowledge. We have a lot of doctors. We have, go to any town. Right now, you will have a lot of physicians. You have a lot of engineers.
Yeah, we do.
But when you look for a scholar, a student of knowledge, someone who teaches the people the religion, someone who tells the people this is haram, this is halal, you hardly find one.
Right. And this is from the hadith as well, isn't it? Allah will take away the knowledge from
the ummah. And normally, that's actually why we're having issue. When the Prophet ﷺ spoke about the signs of the hour, which a lot of us look at being minor signs, the widespread of usury, the widespread of killing, the widespread of adultery, and so forth, always, he begins by saying there is a deficit of knowledge.
SubhanAllah, Shaykh, I'm just amazed because that description is a perfect description of what is happening now,
but you see the hadith of Bukhari or Muslim, always Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say first, the knowledge is taken away. There is no knowledge.
Which shows the importance of this.
What this shows you why we're having a widespread evil.
Right.
Usury is
normal.
Visible. Adultery is visible.
Right.
All the other evil. The result of the shortage of knowledge. نقص العلم وانتشار الجهل. This is how he would word it.
Right.
That knowledge is lifted and ignorance is widespread, and then he would mention all the other things that would take place. Usury is spread, adultery is spread. So, yes, we do have a small segment of the ummah who do enjoin good and forbid evil, but not sufficient for the amount of evil that is widespread, and that is why we want to mobilize more Muslims to do this task.
Okay, that's number one.
No.
Group one.
Number two, the overwhelming majority of the ummah, I would call them now, they abandoned this task totally. They left it. they say لا أسمع, I do not hear. The evil is right there in front of them. لا أسمع, I do not hear. لا أرى, I do not see. لا أتكلم, I do not speak. But again, I don't want to sound negative and naggy, and this is the last thing that I want to do here. I really think that they base this on group of misconceptions.
Yeah, because certainly they must have some proofs for this behavior.
They justify it.
Right.
They justify it. And I think the first thing, the reason why they have this attitude is what I mentioned in the last episode, Malik, that if you see evil, if you do not change it with your hand, with your tongue, and your heart doesn't hate it, you're not going to see it anymore as evil.
Exactly.
That's
the problem.
The core of the problem.
This is the well put. Yeah.
That's the core, because they do not see it evil anymore. Right. No, it's problem. For them, it's no problem. Problem.
Yeah,
it's,
this is the problem.
It's good. ولذلك ابن مسعود, when he somebody said to him that I want to enjoin good and forbid evil, he said, you are in trouble if you're unable to see the evil with your heart. If your heart does not distinguish the good from the evil, then this is your biggest problem.
Yeah, right.
You have a problem. And this is what happened to the majority of the Muslims. As a result of them not doing anything about it, it led their hearts to
not recognize this evil.
To not recognize it as evil anymore. And this is a big problem. But you know what? You know, there are two verses in Surah Al-Hadid. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ الآية. Isn't that enough time for the believers that their hearts, you know, reflect and be in a state of submission to what was revealed of the truth, the remembrance of Allah, Al-Qur'an يعني. A verse, a whole, and do not be like the people of the book, yani the rest of the verse.
Right.
You know, there is the following verse, اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها. Rest assured that Allah can resurrect you again, like He does with earth. Earth is dead, yeah. Water comes down. Just allow the knowledge of the deen, the knowledge of the subject to touch your hearts, my dear viewers. And you will find out that you're going to go back, your heart is going to be able to recognize good from evil. Because I don't want the people to live with the motion now of that course. Their heart is dead.
No, of course not.
Are dead, and we don't want to do
it. Good
that.
Point, Sheikh. But Allah will revive.
But here, let's remove some obstacles, some misconceptions from the picture.
Okay, Sheikh, because you have a long experience as an imam in the United States of America, so I'm sure you've had many people come to you and with many so-called proofs and evidences,
right.
Who say, maybe you can expound on this.
The first thing is they use, the first misconception, which they use, they say it's حُرِّيَّ شَخْصِيَّ.
And we use it, and we hear all around the world, not just in America,
right.
Here in the Middle
which
East.
Which is what, how you translate this?
I think it's translated as personal freedom.
Personal freedom.
We hear it everywhere.
It is not my business.
Right.
It is not my business. Why would I stick my nose in other people's business?
Yeah.
You see, that's not their business. Remember in the last episode, we said that if you see evil, if you do not change it, it will get to you. Collective punishment will fall upon you. You make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to answer you. Enough that your heart will be affected by this. So it is your business.
Yeah, right.
And amazing that, subhanallah, they use this verse always. لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. Brothers, sisters, come on. We don't explain the Quran based on our desire, based on our whims. لا إكراه في الدين, my dear viewers, is a verse which is revealed regarding Jews and Christians who live in a Muslim world or elsewhere. Like if you have Christian and Jews living in a country like Egypt,
for example,
you explain to them Islam, who Allah is, and they refuse to become Muslims and they want to stick to their religion. Stay as Jews, stay as Christians, then we tell them no compulsion in religion, you pay the tax, in return for the tax, al-jizya, in return for the tax, we'll offer you protection, we'll give you some services, you pay the tax, you stay the way that you are, Allah ikrah fi deen. Why are you taking this verse and applying it to Muslims?
Right, it doesn't make sense.
Has nothing to do. And as a matter of fact, Malik also, la ikrah fi deen, once it comes to Jews and Christians, this hukm, that ruling also is a temporary one. It will be abrogated. You know who will come down and abrogate this?
Jesus.
عيسى عليه السلام يوشك أن ينزل فيكم ابن مريم. سيدنا عيسى عليه السلام will descend and he will do what? ويضع الجزية. Abolish the jizya. Abolish it. No more what? Islam or die. Right. Sayyidina Isa, the one that they claim that they are following.
Right, exactly. Right.
So this rule, so shadow, the important thing is, La ikrah fi din has nothing to do with Muslims.
Okay.
And why in the world, here's another thing, why in the world you take that verse, La ikrah fi din, and you leave the hadith, Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyir, whoever sees evil, isn't that also a revelation from Allah? Waltakum minkum ummah. يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. That's also Quran, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Let be among you some people who rise to enjoy what is good, forbid what is evil, call people to goodness. Isn't that Quran too? So why don't you look at this? And you know this concept of حرية شخصية, personal freedom is really imported to us from outside.
Right.
And the people who exported it to us, you know what? I live in America, okay? When there is a red light, okay,
yes,
can I go ahead and cross that red light and say, معلش, officer, I'm sorry, officer, it's حرية شخصية?
Of course.
Can I
not
say this? You cannot do that.
Right.
Ooh, as soon as you cross the red light, they're going to come after you. Registration and proof of insurance.
Yeah.
Even so, insurance is haram, but you still have to get the liability insurance.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Shadow, the important thing is there is nothing in Islam called that. If you see evil, you have to change it.
Okay.
Important.
Sheikh, we're going to take a short break. Next segment, we can go to the second group of people, inshallah.
Inshallah. All right,
you guys, the second topic, I should say.
Well, the second misconception.
Yeah, thank you, Sheikh. You guys stay tuned. We're having a great time with Imam Karim Abu Zayd. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Have spilled over onto this,
escalated into violent clashes between police and protesters
over the government's plan to avoid default.
And we're also hearing of injuries on both.
Journalist Charlie McGrath says the cuts will heap further suffering on ordinary people.
For decades, but the fence needs some
This is a serious and big storm.
Join me as I explore issues. Pressing issues facing the Muslim world today. From the one-sided civil war in Syria to the genocide in Burma, from the Arab Spring to the elections in the U.S., and yes, even the Euro debt crisis in Greece. Honest reporting on a channel you can trust, and I won't leave an issue untouched. Don't miss the Ummah Tonight with me, Malik, on your favorite channel for the TV.
أنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
Welcome back to your program, Nation of Goodness. Sheikh Karim, you had some nice excitement there in the last segment. We're talking about some misconceptions that are really dear to my heart as well, because we hear it so much. I know you hear it so much as an imam of many mosques and Islamic centers all around the world in the United States of America. Sheikh, you're talking about personal freedom, misconceptions about that, Quranic verses as well. What else do we have?
Well, we have, you see, the issue with people refraining from enjoying good and forbidding, I think the core problem, just to recap, is the fact their hearts are not recognizing it anymore to see evil.
Right.
And this is the result. Now, the key to fix that is knowledge, that you end up learning about why is it important to enjoy good and forbid evil. But what drove a lot of people to that route to begin with, to their hearts to die and not to be able to recognize the evil to be evil and the good to be good, sets of misconceptions.
Okay.
I mean, we could go after five, inshallah.
Okay.
We mentioned number one is the concept of personal freedom. That it's not my business. This person is having a girlfriend. Even so, a girlfriend is haram, is adultery. It's not my business.
Right.
What do you mean it's not your business? It is your business. Okay. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells you that if you disclose with al-fahisha, حديث ابن ماجه حديث ابن عمر the hadith that I caused I quoted earlier.
Fahisha means sex.
Well, fahisha in the language is the what leads to adultery and the act itself.
Okay, good.
Whether it is flirting, whether it is
everything surrounding
everything
it.
That leads to it and the act itself. So. But of course, in the Sharia, the punishable offense, which is the fornication or intercourse in a lawful way, that is what al-fahisha.
Okay.
Now, if al-fahisha is there and people are disclosing it, your community is going to be inflected with diseases and epidemics that your ancestors never experienced. Oh. Did he affect it or not? Did that individual act affect the community and the society or not? So it is not personal freedom.
Right.
Now, a person who passes a red light, it's an individual offense, right?
Right.
But he could cause what?
Accidents and hurt other people.
Exactly.
Great analogy.
Exactly
great analogy.
Right there.
Yeah.
Come on, brothers.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
We cannot do this. And add to this, we have things that command us to do so. Another misconception actually comes from the Quran. A verse that is number 105 from Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse number 105. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? يا أيها الذين آمنوا عليكم أنفسكم لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم. If you literally understand this verse, you may reach the wrong conclusion. Literally, the verse says, O ye who believe, be concerned about yourselves. Meaning, don't worry about the rest.
Okay.
As long as you're guided, it doesn't matter if others are misguided.
Sheikh, this seems like a really strong proof against what we're saying.
Well,
yeah.
You know who paid attention to this? في سنن أبي داود, أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه went up to the pulpit. And he said, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ. And he أثنَى على الله سبحانه وتعالى and he delivered a khutbah regarding this verse. And he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, إنكم تقرؤون هذه الآية, you recite this verse, وتضعونها في غير موضعها, but you place it in a place that is not proper.
Right.
You misunderstand it.
Right.
He meant what the people use.
Believe now. Right.
Believe now. فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, إن الناس إذا رأوا الظالم فلم يأخذوا على يديه أوشك الله أن يعمهم بعقاب. Indeed, if people see an oppressor, someone who's committing wrongdoing, and they do not strive to stop him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict them with a collective calamity. So it does not mean that.
Right.
طيب. Why do we understand the verse based on us now? Why don't we find out what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said regarding this verse?
Right.
What Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman said regarding this verse? You know what Hudhayfa says? إِنَّ مِن تَمَامِ الْهُدَى. Because the verse says, as long as you're guided.
Right.
For you to be guided, you must fulfill what?
Enjoying the good and forbidding the evil.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Is it, is it that part of you being guided that you must fulfill? Isn't we have proven that enjoining good and forbidding evil is a command,
right.
And it is mandatory by the heart, mandatory upon your heart that you must reject it, refuse it, remove yourself from the vicinity of the evil with your heart, with the hand and tongue. It fluctuates between recommended, disliked, depending on a lot of variables. But now it is a command.
Right.
So, as a compliment to your guidance, the fact that you're guided, that you must do what.
This task of
that's why they say Ibn Jarir al-Tabari actually compiled this. This is a statement said by Hudhayfa and said by Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib himself. He said what? إِنَّ مِن تَمَامِ الْهُدَى الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. What will make you guided that you fulfill this particular command, you enjoin good and forbid evil.
So basically this verse is taken out of context and misunderstood.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because for you to be guided, you must enjoin good and forbid evil.
Okay.
Yes, there is a stage. There is a stage where this verse is applied,
which
literally.
Is?
That it's over. You cannot even appear. Like you read, for example, the story of the boy and the king.
Right.
The whole society is what? Shirk. Mushrikeen.
Okay,
and there was this righteous man who is sitting in his sanctuary out there worshipping Allah. Right?
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
In this case, if you can isolate yourself away from the society, and there is nothing, zero, that you can do about it, and any time that you speak, your life is threatened,
right,
that's another issue. And you're the last man standing. Yani the story of the boy and the king is an ideal example.
Yeah.
The boy is passing by and he found somebody reciting the revelation. Meanwhile, the whole society is corrupt, teaching sorcery and magic and all type of things. He isolated himself from what? From the society. This verse applies to him.
Yeah.
لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتدى. Because if he goes out there and he speaks, he's going to lose his life. And it happened in that kingdom. He's the only man holding the truth. He's the last man. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared him for that little boy to come and hear the message from him.
Thank you for drawing that analogy. That's very relevant.
It's very important. Misconception number three, Malik, which is in a way is legitimate, but also it lacks a lot of backing, which is the Muslims will say, I'm not perfect.
Yeah, we hear this a lot, Sheikh.
It's true. As a matter of fact, let me give them the benefit of the doubt, because when you enjoin good and forbid evil, and yourself do not do it, it's really devastating for you. We have Hadith Usama ibn Zayd fi Sahih al-Bukhari. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يُجَاءُ بِالرَّجُلِ. A man will be brought in the day of resurrection into the hellfire, and his intestines, amaa, will come out of his rear. Look how...
Yeah, imagine how terrible this picture is.
He's awful.
Yeah, disgusting, yeah.
He's awful. His intestine, his inside, will come out of his rear.
Imagine.
And he will go around, you know, the intestinal ma'a, and he will go around it like a donkey going around in a grinder.
Now, what possibly could have put this man in this situation?
Right here, they came to him because he used to be a scholar. He used to be someone who enjoins good and forbids evil. So the misconception has some legitimacy here.
Right.
So they came to him and they said, Ya fulan, alam takun ta'muruna wa tanhana? What happened to you? You used to tell us to do and not to do. He said, I used to tell you to do it, but I never did it. I used to tell you not to do it, and I was the first to do it. And also we have Hadith Anas, I believe the Hadith fi Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, or Musnad Ahmad, Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the night of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the night of the Ascension, he passed by people whose lips are being torn مقاريد من نار with
fire?
Tools made out of fire,
scissors
made out of fire. And he asked, who are those, my brother Jibreel? He said, those are khutaba al-fitna. Those are the people who deliver khutbas and they never do what they do. ولذلك Ibn Abbas, في سنن الإمام البيهقي, a man came to him and he said to him, I would like to enjoin good and forbid evil. He said to him, you better recite those three verses first. Number one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. It is very much hated that you say that you do not do what you say.
Right.
That you say things and you do otherwise.
Right.
The second verse, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. You enjoin people to do righteousness and you forget about yourselves, you're forgetful of yourselves, while you have the knowledge, have you no sense?
This was for the Jews.
This is for the Jews?
Yeah. But relevant. I was asking,
ليس العبرة بخصوص السبب ولكن بعموم اللفظ. Normally with the Quran, we don't confine it to the reason why it was revealed, what the words mean overall.
Okay.
But yes, it was revealed regarding the children of Israel. And the third verse, قول شعيب, عليه السلام وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عن. And I do not want to do something that I am commanding you not to do, in a way.
Okay.
الشاهد, the important thing here, that those people, they have some legitimacy.
Okay.
But it's not accurate. Listen, you have two commands here. One command is to enjoin good, forbid evil, and one command that you do what you're enjoining and you do what you're commanding.
Right.
What you're forbidding.
You don't do what you're forbidding and you do what you're enjoining.
Correct.
Right.
So those are two. So it doesn't mean that you're abandoning the second command that you abandoned the first command.
Right. It's like the easy way out.
Ideally, I'll give you a good example.
Okay.
You always receive that question in Ramadan. Sheikh, the brother does not pray. Can he still fast?
Right.
It's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question. It is.
Because literally, your fasting will not be accepted without your salah.
Yeah.
Because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the authentic hadith that the first thing that you will be asked about in the day of resurrection is your salah.
Right.
And if your salah is accepted, then the rest of deeds will be what? Will be looked at.
Right.
Will be handled. But now, someone who is still alive, he does not pray. Can I go and tell him, do not fast? Listen. Not praying will be in the scale of his evil deeds, sayyi'at. But fasting will be in the scale of his hasanat, of his good deeds. You understand? It does not mean that he does not pray. It does not mean that he should abandon fasting. Maybe later on he will begin praying and that fasting that he did will be accepted.
Okay.
The shadir, important thing is that misconception, the third one, is somehow somewhat accurate.
Yeah.
But no one in the world says that because you do not basically do the good that you're trying to enjoin,
right.
You stay away from the thing that you're forbidding, it does not mean that you cannot ask people to do it.
It's kind of a convenience to exempt yourself from your responsibility. Just because you don't do one thing doesn't mean you don't have
As
to do the second
fact,
thing.
As a matter of fact, I tell you Allah something, yani something out of personal experience, if you actually enjoin good and forbid evil in that area, Allah will guide you to leave it yourself.
Oh, I see. That's a great point, Sheikh. So if you actually begin...
Because when the Prophet ﷺ, Muslim, says that when you direct people to do what is right, you will get a share, not necessarily hasanat and sayyat.
Maybe increase iman.
A share of guidance.
Ah, yeah, beautiful.
You
right,
know,
yeah.
One of the things that I really believe personally that, alhamdulillah, is keeping me on the track is I'm keeping...
Yeah.
Trying to help people to stay in that track. This
yeah.
helps me.
That's beautiful, Sheikh. Thank you for sharing
yes.
that. We're going to end this episode, Sheikh, with your permission. Next episode, can we continue to talk about the second group of Muslims who have abandoned enjoining good and forbidden evil and go to the third misconception,
Inshallah.
Which is?
Well, the third and the fourth and the fifth. One of them that, for example, I don't want to get myself into trouble.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
stuff like
yeah.
that. This is number four. And we're going to talk about number five, which is...
leave it
for No. I've been talking about it over, but
yeah.
they are not listening.
Okay, so
yeah, we're going to talk
you
about
guys,
it.
Stay tuned to the next episode of Nation of Goodness with your favorite Sheikh, Imam Kareem Abu Zayd. Thank you for watching. Until next time, I leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnasi ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna 'anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Walau amana ahlul kitabi lakana khayran lahum. منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون